Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
Welcome to Young Influentials, where we learn the what and why behind some of our favorite creators and industry execs. I'm your host, Colin Daniels, and today we have BMF's Brian Felt. Get ready for an exciting episode. And Brian, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here. Young Influentials. I didn't know I was young, but this is awesome.
You know, it's all about, it's a mindset.
I mean, I just got my geriatric award, 40 over 40 from Campaign. So I guess I'm young today.
you know, it's all one and the same.
Cool. AJ, nothing but a number.
Exactly. Okay, before we get into everything, I want to know what song or artist or album has been on repeat for you lately.
Okay. Well, I if I'm having people over, or even, you know, I'm always with Mark Ronson Radio. That's a really good channel. I am into the new Ariana Grande. My friend played it for me the other day, and I'm into that. One of my favorite artists the last couple of years is Kali Uchis, but my number one diva of life is going to be Madonna, and my favorite of hers is always going to be Vogue. So,
So it's giving range, it's giving broad, it's giving well-rounded, it's giving Renaissance man.
Thank you. Get on my horse and take a photo.
Screaming. Okay. First, before we get into all the cool stuff you're up to at BMF, take us back to childhood, Brian. What were some campaigns or different marketing things that you really loved growing up that really stood out to you, that inspired you?
I love marketing, and I love watching the impact it has on culture and even campaigns. I would say one of my favorites was always like the CK1 campaign, you know, just the black and white of it all, and merging of like girl and guy into the first like unisex cologne perfume was, I just think, really groundbreaking. A lot of what Calvin did. I even love what the Gap did. I mean, I worked at the Gap during high school, but I think a lot of their marketing over the years has been fun. And even they have a new campaign out with Tyla that's actually a really great spot. Taking it back, little Brian, you know, fan of Madonna, watched Truth or Dare and, you know, saw Freddie DeMann, her manager, and he was like, I want to be him. And so really opened my eyes up to the music business side of everything. And that kind of fueled the beginning of my career, Billboard, and writing a letter to Clive Davis and getting an answer back. And actually had dinner with him last night. So it's very pinch me full circle to kind of be friends with him at the moment. but he took the time to like write me back, which is wild. And that got me to NYU in New York and, you know, yada, yada.
Wait, no, that's so cool. And speaking of, I love Tyla. Her album comes out soon. So that's like a whole, I'm obsessed with her. So
obsessed.
I'm glad you brought up that.
I was at Cannes Lions last year trying to get into the TikTok party, which was the craziest shit show of a door I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen a lot. The French police were out. It was nuts. And my dear friend Lisa from Epic, she's a rock star, literally came out to pull us in, hundreds of people. And I didn't know she was there with Tyla performing. And how I had, that was June last year. I should have been paying attention. But that's one of the cool things about my job over the years is we do get to be next to all these superstars right before they pop. even this amazing event we did for TikTok, the Make Black History Summit, which was all about elevating Black creators. We had at the very end a performance by Doja Cat. No one knew who she was. Like,
that's crazy.
So it's fun to all these new artists. It's really exciting. And I love Tyla too.
That's a whole rabbit hole I'll go down later. But moving into like kind of like what you're doing now, did you have like a first role in the agency realm? Like kind of what was your first like introduction into kind of the like agency event space?
Yeah. So, you know, I got that letter answered back from Clive. So I transferred to NYU and interned at Arista. It was the My Love Is Your Love album of Whitney era. And then I went to a small little label called Imagine, and I wore so many hats. It's kind of like the benefit of being the small shop. You get to like, you know, do so many different things. We had really cool projects like Operatica, Opera and Electronic, but then we had Danzig, Heavy Metal that paid the bills. But eventually my friends worked at Madonna's label, though actually the Rogue goes back to her, ironically, and they hired us to work on Michelle and Deggiocello. And I'm all about networking and keeping in touch with contacts, and I had this amazing Rolodex. So at the beginning of BMF, we would mail CDs, package them up thematically, and send them to brands to create opportunities. So I've been at BMF since it started. I am BMF. And so I've had a lot of roles. I've done everything. I've lifted boxes. I've, you know, been up on New Year's Eve sending iPods out to all the Kiel stores that we program the music for. I've done it all. And so, yeah. But before I was an agency, I did have a stint at a small record label. And right before that, I was with Clive at Arista as an intern.
And you brought up such a good point about like wearing multiple hats. I feel like that's something that a lot of people nowadays don't want to do. They're like, oh, I want to be this, but I don't want to like mail boxes or like clean or clip or do this or that. And it's like all those skills you have to do. You can't just like not do that. You can't shortcut something.
It just gives you a level of appreciation. I don't feel bad asking them to do anything because I have done it all. I have basically slept on the floor at our first Sundance just to get out there where we produced the Wall Street Journal Cafe. And then we've done dozens of events since then. And had we not done that at the beginning, we wouldn't have been able to like, you know, do our own events and all that stuff out there. So yeah, you got to pay your dues. There is a little bit of an aura of like, I shouldn't have to do that, or I should be like president in 2 years. There's a little bit of the Kylie Jenner syndrome going on. Everyone thinks, you know, you can be a bill. But at the same time, there's a cool openness, like peep through the, you know, the openness of the internet and everything. You can be an entrepreneur in overnight. So I don't know. You kind of have to, you know, but while you're at somewhere, like don't, you know, you got to put the work in, and doing the work is learning the process and stuff. There's learnings along the way.
No, I completely agree. And you mentioned that like you're like, I am BMF. Like, can you explain for those who aren't familiar, like what BMF is and like what your current role there is?
So at the beginning, well, it's funny. I used to write BMF on everything growing up. I had an art room. I'm a spoiled only child, to be honest.
I love that for you.
So it's funny that BMF is now a thing. And so at the beginning, I do have an amazing business partner that started it with me, Bruce Starr. He came. And so we, at the beginning, we had it stand for Brands Music Fusion, because we were really putting artists and brands together before. It's essential to do now. Like if you're an artist, you're like, where's my brand deal? Before it was like, oh, I don't know if that's cool. I don't know if I want to quite do that. There weren't even brands at music festivals at that time, but we rolled up to the Hard Rock Hotel in Chicago across the street from Lollapalooza. And we're like, let's create an environment for brands and artists when the artists aren't on stage. They can hang out here, have drinks, get gifted, do media. And that idea took off, and we were getting more press coverage than the festival. And they were like, what's going on over there? And we then took that program to like Winter Music Conference in Coachella and South by Southwest. And that program, the Music Lounge, ran for 11 years. But it was really cool to see how bringing brands and music to life, and then to life via an event, an experiential series. So that was like basically, you know, the first 10 years of BMF.
And like you brought up like a lot of great examples like South By and Sundance and all that. How does that like process come about? Because I know that we've all seen these cool activations at events and stuff. But like kind of what's that first step whenever you're meeting with like a client who's like, oh, I want to activate at South By for such and such artist or for such and such brand? Like what's kind of that like first step where you guys are ideating like, okay, we're going to make this cool?
Yeah. So my role now is new business. So I'm out there and bringing cool projects in. And a lot of times we'll talk to brands and they're like, we want to create noise. And maybe they have something coming out that makes sense to market to an audience of like Gen Zers that might be at Coachella. Or, you know, we're really experienced with the cultural calendar. So when you think of like Sundance to Coachella, all the way to Art Basel, these are great opportunities for brands to like put a stake in the ground, like do their thing, you know, be part of the noise, the action, the hoopla, the media, the social. And so we've been helping brands do that for over 15 years. So a lot of times it'll make sense for them to do such a thing. And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's like, wait, we need to do our own thing. It has nothing to do with the cultural calendar event. But sometimes it does. They want to be at South By in Austin where all these people are in town to learn about the next thing. They're talking about it to their audiences. And if you, we're really good at helping them figure out like, okay, here's the way in. Here's how to cut through the clutter. You know, do you need to be official? Can you be unofficial? Where's the white space for you to like really get your point across, get attention, get the right metrics that you need? So we have an amazing strategy team and I'll bring in the conversation and do a little bit, but eventually like I call it the kitchen and I'm always out there like, are you guys busy? How's it going? But right now they're like, we can't even keep up with all the dishes. Thank God. So, but they're just amazing. So the BMS strategy, they're cranking out beautiful, smart decks that are like, here's why we should go to South By. Here's how we'll go. Here are the renderings to show. Or here are the partners that we could partner with the Fast Company Grill, which by the way, we created and is still running for 12 years. But partnerships are a big thing too that we advise clients on. So that's oftentimes how, you know, these cultural calendar, you know, thing. We have Coachella coming up for Tangle Teaser. We just did our Basel for four brands, including Lamborghini. So we just did the Oscars for TikTok. We did a creator viewing event. So there's always like fun stuff along the cultural calendar.
And you brought up a good point, like, that it's, like, partnerships and also, like, if it makes sense, like, at these things. I feel like a lot of times brands are like, oh, like, we need to be at Coachella, we need to be at South By, but it, like, does it make sense for your brand to be there also? And would it make sense of you being an official or unofficial? Because I know a lot of times brands are like, you want the biggest and the loudest, and it's like, okay, you can do that, you can be adjacent. Like, I feel like so many events at, like, Coachella and South By, a lot of them are, like, adjacent to it. They're not technically, like you said, official or, like, whatever part of it. They're, like, there, but it's so key in making sure, being, like, okay, does this align? Is this where your audience is? Don't just be somewhere to be somewhere.
Well, we try to listen to the clients. My mom always said, God gave you 2 ears, so use them. But try to listen to them. And when they tell us what their goals are, then we can make the appropriate recommendation. Because if they're like, we need to use the Coachella logo mark on all of our product and all the Walmart stores, that's an official sponsorship, you know? But if they're like, we just want to kind of be there and get cool social coverage, celebrities, and we don't have that hefty fee that they're going to charge for an on-site, then we don't need to be official. So it kind of just depends on like what success looks like for them.
And whenever they're like, you brought up a good point too, like with social and stuff, like whenever they're wanting to like integrate stuff, is there like one platform that they favor more? Like, I feel like everybody's now, I've seen like, because VR and AR is like becoming big, people are now, I feel like getting back into like the Snapchat filters, or some are like, oh, we really want to push like social sharing videos. So they'll push TikTok. Like, are you seeing like clients ask for various like push for one platform over the other, or just like social in general?
It's pretty much social in general. It's not as much Snapchat as it is like TikTok and Instagram for the most part.
Yeah, because I feel like now everybody's just like, okay, like we just want buzz. We just want the hashtag used and we just want to put ourselves out there. And there really is no right or wrong way. And I feel like so many times like brands are like, oh, like, if everybody's over here, let's do it. It's like, again, does that make sense? Like if you're trying to get recipes, like, I don't know if like Instagram might make sense, would be like sharing it on Pinterest where more of that community is. It's like kind of, you have to really think, take a step back, like you said, using the strategy team and like focus, like, does this make sense for us to use like this type?
Yeah. And especially like the demographic that they're going after, like, you know, if it's a bit of a more mature demographic, then, you know, some of the hotel work we do, they're a little more interested in the Instagram versus like some of the trendier beauty stuff, more like TikTok land.
And speaking of like, is there anything like particular that they're wanting to, that they're asking for or like using for social media for like tackling Gen Z specifically, like that you've noticed that they're really pushing?
I mean, everybody's like trying to crack the code on a trend, but you obviously, those are like striking lightning in a bottle to catch those. So, but yeah, no, I mean, the other thing that's so cool about social is the brand making sure that they get assets back that they can use on their own social channels too. So a lot of this, like, you know, investment in events and social or influencer work is really also like a replacement of money they may have spent creating an ad campaign of their own. You know, this is content that they have to feed on their channels. So mm-hmm. A lot of value in all this stuff, that, you know, if they cover all their bases.
And can you give us examples of other examples of some that you really feel that where a social played a major role in that like sharing aspect of it, that they really relied on it?
Yeah, we did a really cool project for Amazon Studios for Rihanna Savage. She had her third installment going on Amazon, you know, the big fashion show that she does for Savage. So they came to us and like, we need some big ideas. So that's what our team's good at, is coming up with like big ideas that are going to drive buzz. And for them, the big goal was tune in and social chatter. So the idea that we landed on was we took over a building in Broadway in New York, and we did a red light district show in the first two levels of windows, totally styled, body inclusive, colorful models, and a whole nod to the actual show. So this is a consumer stunt that stopped traffic. There were like hundreds of people outside. But what they really loved about it was we did a whole influencer, if you know, you know, campaign of the making of the stunt. So they were invited inside. They saw all the models getting ready and then walked around to actually watch the stunt go live. And then, you know, the billboard stayed up for 7 days. So it was also a bit of an out-of-home play. That was a cool one because it created just tons of social chatter. And she even loved it so much that she put it on her Instagram. It's still up there. She put the sizzle. She said, "Fuck your marketing team." So that was pretty cool. And then we won 3 Clios for it. So that was a fun event that was all about like driving tune in buzz noise, but to get people to like watch the show on Amazon. And she was very involved. Like her team was standing outside filming the rehearsal with her on the line watching it. Like she was extreme. She would have been there, but ASAP was performing at Gumball across the water. So I was like, oh my God, what are the chances? Like she really can't be here. But actually it was like, thank God she wasn't there, because that would have shut the street down on a whole nother level.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hatch, because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content, so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, "The more MQLs, the better," over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
No, honestly, I feel like anything she does,
yeah,
like, is going to create that buzz and create that traffic. And that's what I think is so cool whenever you're working with, like, artists or brands that are, like, actually really do want to get involved and really do their touch. Because I feel like a lot of times whenever brands or celebrities are doing stuff, they're like, oh, I want this big activation. And it's like, they might give you, like, 2 or 3 ideas. And then they're like, yeah, social, I want buzz. And it's like, what does that even mean? It's like, I need something more to work with. Like, how do you kind of, like, deal with the clients that are like that? They're like, oh, we just want buzz and we want something big. Like, how do you kind of like draw out the details for them to like really start getting involved and give those ideas and concepts?
Yeah, I mean, our team is really good at like synthesizing and putting out realistic things that fit in the budget as well. Even showing that like this is what people could be saying, or where money is best spent, you know? Like, maybe we shouldn't spend a ton of money on the venue and it should be more based on like a celebrity fee. So, you know, you really have to make some decisions on like where the buckets of budget go to on that stuff and advise them. But again, it's all based on like, what is the goal here? We always start with that so that we're designing to achieve that.
And you just reminded me of something by saying that. I was talking to a few other brands recently and they were saying that they're kind of moving away from like the big, huge, like types of activations and kind of moving towards the like still kind of like nice over the top, but like, with smaller groups and smaller communities. Are you noticing that as well.
Yeah, I think that's because of the power of content. It's like, wait, we're going to, you can only hit up so many people live, you know? I mean, I'm not trying to like, you know, discourage people from doing huge activation stuff, but sometimes go big or go home, because the bigger is going to create the bigger social coverage and stuff. But I mean, we're doing an event right now to launch a credit card, and it's a multi-$100,000 investment, and it's only like 15 people going on the trip to launch the card. So, you know, but these are 15 very important people, and they're not like even just like influencers. They're people that influence the influencers. So, So there's a honing in on that. And so I guess, you know, you can, if you get, some people are like, wait, let's do quality over quantity.
Yeah. And I'm noticing that too. Like, I feel like we're now seeing more of the like curated audiences where people are like, okay, we want like such and such from like this publication and this creator and that person that are like more focused in the area versus kind of like just like shooting a net out and being like, okay, like come one, come all, like we'll see like what content sticks. And it's like when it's more concentrated, you can kind of get a better bet on like, okay, I know what's going to come out because this person's in such and such area.
Yeah. And it might even feel like more authentic if it's like the right person versus just like too many people talking about it. That being said, it's always good to like take over and break the internet sometimes, you know? So, I think we just did it. I don't care if I'm going to get in trouble for saying it, but we just did Beyonce's hairline launch. I don't know if you saw it.
Wait, I did. Talk to me about it. Talk to me about it if you can.
Yeah, I don't know. You can, because it happened. So it is what it is. But yes, that was really cool doing something obviously with like the biggest star on the planet, basically. And it really, you know, going into everyone's feed, I heard from everybody that they saw that event. And it wasn't like a multi-million dollar really project either. It was a very tasteful, appropriate for her and what she wanted with her mom. But that definitely like kind of broke the internet and got out everywhere. So that's always
no, fun. Yeah, I saw it like all over my TikTok, and I had a lot of creator friends that were there and attending. And it was so just like minimal, but it was like less, but it was like still more. Like it was, I don't know how to describe it, but it was just like,
it was
so well
right
done.
Amount, you know?
Yeah.
It was like authentic to them. And there was a lot of, the devil's in the details, you know? There was an amazing hair show there. There was models that were cool designs, you know? It was just, also they invited even their competitors in the space because they wanted everyone, you know, there's enough room for everybody in the community. And just, it was very authentic to the true people that they are.
No, it was so well. It was so cool. Yeah, I saw it all over my feed, and I was just like.
And then a cool gift bag. Everybody got these like massive suitcases filled with.
Oh my gosh.
Like, heel suitcases, crazy. I couldn't even like take it with me. I have to like pick it up in LA.
My gosh. That's so cool. Like, I'm just picturing, I'm like, what did she, I feel like every word she says is just like. So like we're so weighted where I'm like, even if she was like, well, I love the drapes, I feel like that's like
team,
my first
well, it's funny, our team turned in the first activation deck, like here's what we're, you know, and they came back and they said the boss loved it, and that was like the highlight.
Oh my gosh.
They call her the boss, so that was the highlight.
Oh my gosh. Like add that to LinkedIn where you're like, I've been like Beyonce-fied, like I have the queen's blessing.
Yeah. And it's cool because we've gotten to work with a lot of our, like a year and a half ago, we did Madonna's Pride Party. Obviously, you know, Madonna is important to me. And so, you know, we produced her whole event. It was in New York. She put on a custom 30-minute show during Pride. And, you know, there was a whole series of like, not just drag performers, but more like burlesque doing tribute to her as well as at Terminal 5. And that was amazing. We had to create a whole marquee in front of the venue that was like, so expensive, and with events, you know, anything could go wrong. I was like, thank God that thing got up there. In the nick of time with all that investment, had that not gone right. And it was a very cool sometimes to be able to work with like these people that we've, you know, we did the Museum of Missy Elliott for Viacom and Pepsi. I was in New York, and we brought all these famous Missy Elliott video scenes to life that people could jump into. And that was, I mean, a lot of people at Viacom and MTV will say that was one of the best events they ever did. She loved it. Missy loved it so much, she moved her after party there. We had to scramble to keep the place open for another day, which is quite complicated. You know, you have to extend your lease, you have to get all the vendors to stay longer. But that was a cool project as well. We even worked with Whitney Houston, well, not her, but with Sony on the movie that just came out. And we proactively pitched the idea, let's do a pop-up like we did with Missy, but celebrating Whitney, and people can jump in those famous video vignettes and create content and get the buzz going on social for the movie. And I met Clive again, like this was like 2 years ago, I guess. And they introduced, and I was like, yeah, Clive, we're doing this, you know, pop-up for you. And he's like, what are you doing? I don't understand. But I was like, trust me, we're just getting it on TikTok. So it's fun.
No, that's, and like, what are like three things that you would say make like an activation or make an event successful? Like, what are the like key things that you feel like it needs to have?
Well, like we always try to design events that we would say are fun and comfortable. Like you don't want lines at the bar, trash on the floor. You don't want to take a while to get into. Like nobody wants to do any of that. Everybody's a VIP, you know? And so, and then I always really believe like the devil's in the details. So we won't just pick random materials or furniture items. We'll pick things that like tie back to the message we're sending. There's lots of opportunities for like communication and inspiring sharing that we take advantage of as event designers. So, and just try to stay like on the pulse. Like the new people want to see like the new spots and hear the new artists and see what's going on in culinary stuff. So it's just a magic mix of stuff that creates these things. And there's nothing better than the feeling of like finishing an event and knowing you kind of like dropped a mic like that. And it's fun. It's, you know, and they're stressful as well, because not often, thank God, but sometimes things can go wrong and you have to be able to like pivot. And those are not fun times. Of course, they're like few and far compared to successes, but they can be pretty annoying and painful too.
No, yeah. Like I feel like a lot of times when people are like, oh, there's this cool pop-up, and then if like the line's too long or like they can't get to the food or to the drink or whatever, it just makes it.
You're not at a BMF whole event if that's going
on. You're like, we don't do that over here.
That's not a BMF event.
Okay, for a fun one, like if you could pick an artist or brand or company right now to do an event for, like, who would you pick?
Well, I know what, we have a vision board and we're always adding, and every time I'm asked, I always forget what's on there, but we actually type it. But I always have been saying this forever and I'm going to make it happen, but I want to do the Gap because I worked there during high school. And I think that, you know, I like working on the projects where we can make a difference, you know, like the Gap, like it need a little bit of cool help. I mean, thank God they're doing Tyla. That's already a step in the right direction. Yeah. But, you know, and from the Gap to even like NVIDIA, which is like the most valuable company on the block right now, like who's doing their conferences and events and entertaining of CEOs and partners. Like, so we're super diverse. We're like, we've got like tech and finance, cool entertainment stuff, but beauty, you know, I want to work with Pat McGrath as well.
Oh, I love her. Oh, she's everything.
Katie, who is a rock star at BMF. We just did a call with Mac Makeup. I think there's going to be a project there. She's like, that's number one on my vision board. So I think it's important to have a vision board with whatever you're doing. And we definitely have vision boards and talk about them a lot.
No, I feel like, I don't know why, but when you were saying that, I feel like you guys in Pop-Tarts would make a cool event.
I love that.
I don't know why, but you said something and I'm like, they should work with Pop-Tarts. They could do something cool.
You just gave me a task and we can do a part two when we.
Yes. Because I don't know, like, I feel like you guys could make like a toaster that people could jump in. I don't know, like, I feel like.
Oh, that's
you fun. Guys could really take it to the next level.
Oh, I think you should come to our next brainstorm.
Yeah, I was like, invite me, to give me, send the Cal invite. I'm coming and we'll like
we love
brainstorm it out.
We just turned in a proposal today to Stars for the Ghost show. So,
oh my gosh.
But the team is literally brainstorming all the time. They just sent out an email. Hey, if you're a fan of the Bear, come to the next brainstorm. Like there's
where oh, I love that.
There's the fun brainstorms that happen to get these ideas going.
No, and a Gap wouldn't be cool. Like, honestly, I've always been a fan of Gap. I've always gotten all my essentials from there. So, like, to me, they've always been, like, that girl. Like, always can count on them for, like, a nice, like, white tee, jeans, like, whatever. And I feel like you guys could do some, like, fun, like, AR filters with, like, dancing jeans or, like, I don't know. Like, I see the vision. I see it. I have some ideas. I have some concepts.
Okay,
I see it.
So Gap and Pop-Tarts are coming to the brainstorm.
Yeah, I was like, bring them in. I think that would be so cool. And then for my last question, like, for anybody who's like in the event or agency realm that's like, oh, cool, love what BMF's doing, but like, we don't know where to start to kind of get the creative juices flowing with our clients. Like, what advice would you give to like agencies who are looking to kind of like ramp up their clients, like events, and kind of make it more engaging and make it something that people want to go to?
Well, hopefully they have enough money to just hire BMF and, you know, but I thought you were going to ask me, how do people get in the industry? And this one girl gave me her resume in the shape of a foot, and she said to get the foot in the door.
Oh, wait, hired her.
She was really a great employee for a couple of years. But yeah, I mean, you really have to read, you know, you've got to like stay connected. We put out the Pulse newsletter, BMF, and anyone's welcome to subscribe to it. It's on wearebmf.com. And every 2 weeks, you know, based on a different, like we just did South by edition, and I'm not sure what the next one, but it's always like time to like what's going on. And it's just full of important, cool things to know. Like, you want to know the new restaurants, the cool museum gallery openings, that, you know, you just the new music and stuff. And so we try to put our version of that out there, and that's available. I just think it's important that people read so that they can show up in conversation and brainstorms with new ideas and cool talking points. And it's important also to like get out there, like go see stuff. Like tonight I'm going to an event for Cadillac at the Carbone in New York, or sorry, in Miami. And like, I don't know who I'm going to meet. And of course, Carbone's amazing, so I'm excited to eat.
But, yeah, I guess.
So like, maybe I'll meet someone from Cadillac, because never not working, you got to hustle. But you do have to be out and about, like see what people are doing. You know, we just got back from South by Southwest. I mean, it's about networking. It's about seeing what people are doing. We actually did an amazing event for this company called Icon, and they are 3D printing houses. They're revolutionizing housing shortage by being able to print houses really effectively and efficiently. It's this huge crane that like puts out, like literally draws the house out with the concrete.
Oh my gosh.
And so that kind of stuff is out there if you're out and about at the right places and checking stuff out. I think in the event world, like it's good to read like BizBash, Event Marketer, you know, other, you know, newsletters like that. Even like going to these events, there's a big event in Miami coming up called Possible. It's kind of like the new Cannes Lion, but it's in America, and it's more than just advertising. It's literally about technology and marketing and everything. So it's just important to just be out and about and reading and eyes open and talking to people so you can bring those inspirations back to your own, you know, and going to events where there is long lines and knowing I don't want to have that. So how are we going to like lay the floor plan out so that that does not happen? People congregate around a bar. So like, don't put everything by the bar, you know?
Yeah.
But if they've got enough money, they should just hire BMF.
And you brought up a good point too. Like, I feel like a lot of times when it comes to like, whether it's events or working with creators, like a lot of times, like the execs in the seat aren't familiar with like cool concepts. Like you said, they're not really like in touch with like what's going on. So they'll be like, they'll put the social media manager of the event coming through the ringer because they're like, I don't know who that is or this singer. And it's like, girl, do you read? Like, are you like, what are you doing? Like, you need to be exposed versus like putting it like everybody through the ringer with stuff because you don't know like who certain creators are or like what certain chefs are and stuff for events and things.
It's hard to keep up with everybody. I mean, there are so many creators out there right now. Like, I don't know everybody, that's for sure. But it's about having the right people on the team that do know people. So our social team, they know who all these people are. I try to know as many as I can, but I mean, there's a lot of them. So got to get like subject matter experts around you, you know, if you don't know.
No, that's key, like having those people and then like trusting them to do that job where it's like, hey, like you're the one who's going to be handling like the vendors and the food and the creators and stuff. Like, I trust you to that. Like, you can't micromanage them, be like, hey, what's that? Can I see? Like, you have to just fully trust the team that's in charge of that.
That's what's hard about wearing a million hats. And we've done it all. Like, we started from my apartment. It was two of us. So like, we've faked it till we made it, you know, and now we're a little bigger. And so we're able to have like experts in their lanes. So, but not even if you aren't big yet, it's still important to have relationships with other agencies so that you can bring in the right people to focus on the right things. You know, we're friends with our competitors. Like, sometimes we'll collaborate here and there, but you have to be, you know, you never know where people are going to move on to. And it's good to have relationships so you can bring on the right people who know what they're doing. And you're going to look good to the client, you know, for orchestrating the team.
Yeah, and this industry is small. Like, you're going to eventually come across everybody. Like, that's rule one. Yeah.
People change jobs every 2 years these days. So it's like, you never, I always admired James LaForce in New York from LaForce and Steven, because he was always so gracious about people that left his agency and opened up their own shop. Like, was just so nice no matter who, because all these people turn out to be clients potentially of his. They might go in house one day. They might have, you know, so you just never know. And you really never know. So be nice.
You heard it here first, people. Be nice to everybody. Thank you, Brian, so much for being here. This was so fun.
So fun. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And we'll do a part two when we land the Gap and Pop-Tarts.
Yes.
Wow, how great was this episode? If you were like me, you probably took a lot of notes and have a lot of questions and comments. So if you do, feel free to add us at Adweek across Twitter, Instagram, all the social medias. And we'd love to hear from you all. And feel free to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. That always helps us. And we can't wait to hear from you all and see you in the next episode. So bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Young Influentials, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Aarons, and edited by Lane McGibney at Bountiful Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.